Part 1. A Life Beside the Sea. All his life, Nicola lived beside the sea. An otherwise unremarkable little boy, Nicola, or Cola, to his friends, and all those who remember him, was the son of a fisherman. His father's father was a fisherman, and his father's father's father was a fisherman, and his father's 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 father was a fisherman, and, of course, his father's well, you get the picture. He and his family lived in a small fishing village on the coast of Messina in Sicily, where beneath their feet endured one of three legendary columns, one under each corner of the triangular island. It is also said that their homeland sat atop these columns, stopping the great isle from sinking into the sea, even to this day. But I know better. I was there, after all. My name is Jacopo Mostacci, falconer and poet in the royal court of Castle Rufo Rufo. I was exiled from the court because I always spoke the truth. I spoke the truth then, and I speak it today. Lend me your ears and listen well. This is the true story of Cola Pesce, a boy who dove to Sicily's rescue in its most dire hour of need. Every day from dawn till dusk, Nicola swam in the waters of the Strait of Messina. He was never fearful of what larger sea dwellers may have lurked below the island, and he swam high and low with fish of all shapes and sizes. He would take naps on the water's surface and let the tides carry him near and far. And every day, Nicola begrudgingly returned home when his mother called.
Il narratore sta parlando di me!
But of course I'm talking about you. You're the main character of the story, aren't you?
Ma che dici? Don't you think I can tell my own story?
But I am the narrator.
You're talking about my mother. What do you know about mamma? No one talks about my mother except me. Tu capisci o no?
Va bene, va bene. Far be it from me to get between a boy and his dear mother. Tell me about mamma, Cola.
Grazie.
I remember like it was yesterday. I'd spend long days out on the sea. The sun would be setting, and in the distance I'd hear her calling from the kitchen window.
Cola!
Sì, mamma?
Pesciolino mio, my little fish. It's already 5 o'clock. Don't you think you've been swimming enough?
5 more minutes, please, mamma.
Come home. I'll make you something to eat. You know what they say. Troppo acqua ti fa diventare un pesce.
Of course, mamma. Be right there.
She was always so loving. Well, maybe not always. I suppose it depended on how long I'd been out in the water. Because the longer I stayed out, the more anxious she'd get.
Cola!
Sì, mamma!
It's 6 o'clock! You're gonna miss dinner! Your father's gonna have to go looking for you!
Oh. All right, I'm coming!
Look how far out you are! You're gonna get caught in the current!
No, I won't!
Cola, why are you always making me nervous, huh? Look at me, I used to be so beautiful. Now look at all this gray hair you give me. Look at all this wrinkle.
You're still beautiful to me, mama.
Oh, hurry up and come inside, huh? Remember what I always tell you. Troppo acqua ti fa diventare un pesce.
I know, mama, I know.
I tried my best not to worry her. Really, I did. But the truth is, sometimes I just lose track of time. And when I did...
Cola! What's the matter with you? Huh? You know what time it is? No. You stay out there. I'm not gonna let you back in this house. You like the water so much, you sleep in. Always in the water. Oh, Madonna Santa, quanto mi fa chiamare in questo figlio. How many times I have to tell you? Troppo acqua ti fa diventare un pesce.
I know! Too much water will turn me into a fish. I know!
Oh, you know, huh? Good! I'm glad you no. Get out of the water. Get in here and eat. I'm making you lentils. Sit, eat, mancha. I should start calling you Cola il pesce. Cola the fish.
Va bene. Call me Cola il pesce then.
Cola il pesce. Cola the fish. Not a bad name.
That night, Nicola tucked himself into bed and dreamt of the sea as he always did. He dreamt he was adrift in the vast blue without a care in the world, when from out of the depths below came a whisper.
Troppo acqua ti fa diventare un pesce. Troppo acqua ti fa diventare un pesce.
Troppo acqua ti fa diventare un pesce.
Aiuto, Cola.
The voices stretched from every direction.
Aiuto, Cola.
Nicola.
He felt his mother's hands reaching out to him, seizing his fingers and toes, checking for webbing between them. She ran her hands across his throat, checking for gills. The hands were many.
Nicola! Wake up, Nicola! The sun is already up and we're late!
Relief flooded Cola's chest. He ran his hands along his neck with an ache in his heart.
Madonna mia! What a dream!
The spring morning was shining through Cola's window. His papa stood in his bedroom's doorway with his arms crossed.
Today of all days! Come on, figlio mio, amonini! There's no time to waste!
Coming, papa!
It was the first day of the fishing season, and there was work to be done on his father's boat. Rubbing the sleep from his eyes, Cola ambled down the hillside with his father and his father's brother, his zio, passing gnarled olive trees as they walked. His father was a gentle soul with rough hands. His uncle was a man of few words and few teeth. Cola was still trying to place the voices he heard in his dream as they strolled down the snaking path to the shore, when his father extended a finger towards Messina's harbor.
See? All those boats out toward Milazzo ahead of us. That's what happens when you sleep in. Good thing we set the isola for the Matanza a month ago. You can't be overprepared for this day, right, Zio?
Si.
Look at them all. They think they're gonna get the catch of the day.
Sorry, Papa.
Oh, don't worry, little Cola. We'll be sure to disappoint them, eh? Your Zio and I are the best fishermen in all Messina, right, Zio?
Si.
And someday you will be too, little Cola. Don't you worry. We'll make a tonarotti of you yet, my son.
There was merit to his father's boasts. His family's competitors had crews of 50 men or more who made short work of the tuna harvest every year, which meant that Nicola's father, well respected by his peers despite his modest means, was the best rais in all of Messina. You see, a rais is more than a captain. A rais is a master of his craft, and he directed his brother and his son with such passionate confidence that Cola was altogether proud and pressured by his papa's reputation. The three fishermen strolled down to the pebbled embankment, where they would set out onto the waves in their humble yet seaworthy wooden dinghy, the Pezzolo, so named by his papa in honor of his childhood home. Cola's dream still hovered on the edge of memory as they prepared to launch the boat out to sea.
I'm feeling lucky today, ragazzi. Today, we eat like kings. Now, as one...
Uno, due, three!
The small crew hopped aboard the Pezzolo with the wind at their backs. Cola assumed his usual spot on the prow, while his papa and Zio took up the oars. salt and spray hissed against their hull as they rowed out to inspect the Matanza, an island of nets, which they had arranged in the weeks leading up to this critical day. Cola struggled to keep his footing against the chop.
Ma guarda, zio! Ah, little Cola! Son of a fisherman, whose father was a fisherman, whose father's father was a fisherman. The kid can swim like a fish. Oh, beato lui! But he still doesn't have his sea legs yet. How do you like that?
Ma.
Hold! Hold here!
Cola's father rose to examine the nets carefully. Zio's thick fingers were strong, but clumsy. And so, under his father's tutelage, Cola committed many dexterous knots to memory should the need ever arise.
Babordo, Cola! Babordo!
Port side!
Si, figlio mio. That line looks frayed. Belay that. Help me tie it to the boat.
Aye, aye. Rice!
Here, let me help you get that tighter. There. That's how you do it.
Grazie, papà.
My son, you're learning well. Ci vuole tempo, and someday you'll be tying nets even stronger than papà and zio. You hear me, Cola? Someday you'll grow so strong, you will be able to hold the whole sea as the sea holds the land. And I can't wait to see it. Looks like we're ready for the catch, boys. Now all that's left to do is hold until we hear the bells ring.
Salty jabs and jeers were customary right before every harvest. One of the Petzolo's competitors, who was already moored in place, taunted Cola's father with a smile.
Ciao, Rice!
Ciao, compare!
That's a scrawny-looking fish you got there! I'd toss him back if I were you.
Oh, I don't know. I think I'll use him as bait. What do you think?
I think he might scare off the other fish with that face.
Well, we wanted to use your cooking instead, but even the fish don't like it.
Your son's catching on, Rice. He learns from the best. In bocca al lupo, ragazzi.
Crepi. Good luck to you too, compare. Ciao!
Cola waved his copla in farewell to their friendly rivals, when the Rais commanded his son's attention.
The sun's getting close. It'll be any moment now, ragazzi. Gather round. Let us remember our ancestors, who plundered these seas for generations.
As was tradition, the three Tonorotti lowered their heads and held each other's hands.
Looks like Neptune is calm today. Let's hope he stays that way. But whether the sea be still or ceaseless, we must work. So steel yourselves, boys. But first, you remember our dead. Those who these waves have taken from us, with a prayer. Narreca materna alla di sante priatori ri nostri morti. God grant them eternal rest.
May God grant it.
May Saint Teresa grant us fair winds and calm seas.
Let her do it.
May we have strong hands and strong nets.
May we do it.
May Saint Peter bless us with a good catch.
Ilvacha.
Vai, vai, vai.
Thousands of years of seafaring tradition roared to life. The strait became a battleground between man and fish as sailors armed with hooks choked their nets around a thrashing mass of tuna. Where Cola's father was undoubtedly the mind, his uncle was the muscle, and Zio wrangled a 300-pound fish into the boat almost single-handedly. The Rice used his knife to procure a small sampling.
The first fruit of the season! Bravo, brother! Buono! Zio, here, have a piece.
Crudo! Cola! Frutta! Mangia!
But Cola was too busy watching the fish fill his family's matanza, including a small yellow fish that Cola thought looked an awful lot like a lemon with wings. Cola's papa and Zio repositioned the boat, when suddenly... The boat was jerked to a halt, and the three Todorotti were tossed to the deck, bruising their elbows and knees. Cola's uncle said some words that made Cola laugh. His mother wouldn't be too pleased with that kind of language.
Cola! We must be snagged! Dive down to the bottom and see if you can free the net!
You gonna let him do that, Rice?
You got a better idea, Zio? We're burning daylight! Everybody knows he's already a better swimmer than all of us put together. I've never seen anything like it, have you?
More.
Esatto. We'd be fools not to put his gifts to good use.
His mother will kill you.
Managgia.
Papa, please. I want to dive.
No, Cola. Zio's right. You know your mother doesn't like you diving deep in the open sea.
Please, Rice. Let me do this for you.
No, Cola. I promised Mama.
You said that I would one day be so strong that I'll be able to hold the whole sea. How could I ever learn to be a great fisherman like you if I don't dive?
When the kid's right, he's right. Do it, Cola. Dive down and free the net. Go.
Yes.
But keep it under your hat, eh?
Of course, Papa. Here I go.
Wait. Don't forget this. Use my knife to cut the net.
Cola's father patted him on the shoulder with a wink, and Cola tightened his cap around his head. Within moments, Cola was down at the seafloor. His father was right. They were caught on something. The net was horribly entangled on the rocks. He had no choice but to cut a hole in the netting and patch the hole by tying it back together. The tuna that were caught in the net regarded Cola with bated breath. Cola brandished his father's knife to cut the net free, when he heard a voice.
Aiuto! Aiuto! Aiuto, please!
Indistinct, but he surely heard someone say something. Cola frowned at the noise and looked around. There was no one in sight. With a shrug, he returned to his work of cutting the net free when again he heard a voice from his dream.
Aiuto! Aiuto! Help! Help! Help!
Cola thought nothing of it. Cola kept cutting the net when, out from the net swam that little lemon of a fish he'd seen earlier. It bubbled beside him, its fins fluttering. Then, impossibly, it spoke.
Grazie.
The fish kissed Nicola on the nose before flapping away into the blue with impressive speed for such a small fellow. Nicola shook his head in disbelief. He must be spending too much time in the sun if he was hearing fish talking. On the other hand, the fish in the net did seem to be peering at him rather curiously, almost as if they knew something. Cola mended the net with some knots that his father had taught him. He felt a pang of guilt as he looked upon the fish in the net one last time, and he swam to the surface. Nicola was hoisted into the boat by his father and his uncle, who tousled his hair and praised him on a job well done.
Bravo, figlio mio! Bravo! What did I tell you, zio? My son is gonna be a great fisherman someday.
Mo.
Here's your knife back, Papa.
Tieni, cutedu. It's a gift for you. You've earned it.
Grazie, Papa.
Cola beamed at the gesture and tucked it away in his pocket, where he would keep it always. Wasting no time at all, Nicola's papa and his zio continued to row their oars and harvest their catch. But Cola couldn't get the voice of the little yellow fish out of his head.
Aiuto.
Aiuto, Cola.
Aiuto.
Aiuto.
Aiuto,
aiuto Cola.
Cola.
Cola relived the moment of the fish's escape and its gratitude over and over, even as his uncle and father tethered the boat to the docks in Messina. The thought of the fish in the net and their cries for help followed him through the streets as vendors of every variety and fashion peddled their wares. Some sold trinkets, some sold figs. Others, like his family, sold fish.
Now, son, a fisherman's work doesn't end when he's caught the fish, does it? You've got to learn how to prepare it, too. You can use the knife I gave you. Watch me, and then you can try.
Papa, I'm not sure I feel like it today.
Stai tranquillo, figlio mio. Just watch me. Don't be scared. Do as I do. Grab hold of the fish and put it on the table. Get a firm grip on your knife and... Simple as that. Va bene?
Si, papa.
Here, you try it. Practice makes perfect.
Cola took hold of one of the many fish he caught that day and placed it on the table. His heart sank as he readied his father's knife for the second step. He couldn't shake the memory of the fish from his mind as he grabbed another fish from the pile. Those poor fish. He swore he could almost hear them.
Cola. 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 Cola.
Nicola.
What?
Mancia. Your dinner's getting cold.
Nicola snapped to his senses. He wasn't in the marketplace. He was sitting at the kitchen table with his family later that evening. He had been daydreaming again. He looked down at the uneaten fish on his plate, and then up at his uncle and father, who were munching away on pishistokayota, Zio's favorite. Nicola's mother was staring at her son. Normally, Cola had a pretty good appetite, but tonight, he looked a little green around the gills.
What's the matter? You sick?
No, Mama, I'm fine.
Oh, you don't like the fish?
No, Mom, it's not that.
Did something happen today?
Cola fishy bravo oggi. You should have seen him. He dove into the water and freed the net. My son, you'll be a great fisherman yet.
You made him dive?
Yes.
Ufagista truffare.
Sì.
You made him
He's
dive?
Not a kid anymore.
Oh, you might be the
raiz. What do you want from me?
Cola,
Nicola è cresciuto. Non è ancora un bambino.
But Cola wasn't listening. His memory was playing tricks on him again. The chopping blocks were vivid in his mind's eye.
Aiuto, Cola. Please, Cola.
Please, Cola. Cola. Cola! Cola!
Nicola! What's happened?
Lifted once more from his daydream, Cola was still sitting at the dinner table. This time, even Zio had stopped eating. And though he said nothing aloud, his eyes shouted from beneath his fuzzy eyebrows. Cola was tense. He didn't even notice his grip had tightened around the knife his father had gifted him earlier that day.
I freed the fish. The net. I cut the net free. It was stuck. I was just trying to help. That's all.
Good boy. Bravo.
Cola smiled. His mother stopped pressing her son and returned to their meal. The sight made Cola slightly sick. No matter how hard he tried to ignore them, the voices of the sea continued to reach out to him.